Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, Pinterest is rolling out ads. How do we all feel about that? Plus, Tim Cook joins Twitter. Yes, finally. And do you want to stick your tablets and mobile devices on things? Got a solution for you. All that and more next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 129, recorded Friday, September 20th, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Warby Parker Eyewear. Get boutique-quality, classically crafted eyewear at revolutionary prices. For a free home try-on of five stylish frames of your choice, go to warbyparker.com. After trying out the frames at home, get special expedited delivery within 3 days on your purchase by using the code SOCIALHOUR. And by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media with Social Media Solutions from SAP to improve your customer service and support experience. Take a guided tour at sap.com/twit. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Social Hour. In fact, it's episode 129. From Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Amber. How is life up in the Great Northern Territories?
It is good. And you know, it's funny, Sarah. I was just thinking about you today because I'm going to see Sarah Silverman live tonight.
Oh, and, nice.
I know. So for some reason, because her name's Sarah, obviously, I think of you. And I was curious if you liked her sense of humor.
I do. I do like Sarah Silverman. I mean, I can't say I've seen every stand-up appearance she's ever made. But yes, I find her refreshingly abrasive, I guess would be a good way to describe it. It's the sort of humor that I understand is not for everybody. And I like it. I find it, brave? I don't know if that sounds a little silly, but I think she has a lot of guts.
She does. And I think, I mean, there are lots of fabulous female comedians out there. You may not like Sarah's style, but if you are a geek or a nerd, if I can use both of those terms, she really appeals, I think, to that audience as well. Whereas some of the other female comedians I know don't necessarily do the same, but I feel as though she's sort of our generation in many ways in terms of liking the same type of things and just having an inappropriate sense of humor. But I've not seen her live yet, so I'm super excited about it.
That's going to be fun. That's tonight.
Yeah. Yes, it's tonight.
Oh, can't get ready for a comedy night on the town.
It's going to be good. I feel like my head is really big. I might put my chair down. Hold on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So now we're matching.
There you go. Yeah, you were jumping out of your frame there for a second. See, you audio listeners, you miss some of the wonderful magic that goes into our live show when we record them on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. So, Amber, this is pretty big news. In fact, this is just Friday morning news, really. Or I think maybe the news broke Thursday night. But of this week, we learned that Pinterest is going to start showing ads on the Pinterest network, which I honestly had to kind of like sit and think about for a second because I didn't realize that they weren't.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, it's I think I realized that they weren't displaying ads currently, but I have heard a lot more talk about Pinterest. I know we've mentioned them on the show in terms of some big retailers who are using Pinterest to advertise just by sharing their products. But it seems, based on what I'm understanding about this move, is that they will now offer small businesses a chance to have official ads on there. So if you went online and searched something like Halloween, that perhaps a costume store nearby, their pictures that they've pinned would show up at the top if they've paid for them to do so. That's my understanding of it. So you could see some ads integrated into the search process. And I believe it's specific to mobile devices.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, so I went ahead and searched for Halloween. And I think this is where Pinterest kind of, it's not like I'm advocating more ads, but
if all of these companies need to make advertise-based revenue, Pinterest is a pretty good place to do it because a lot of this stuff will link back to a product that I might want to buy. Okay, if I search for Halloween, this is kind of cute. There's like a little pumpkin ice bucket type thing. Okay, well, if I go ahead and click into that, I look at it. This, yeah, I really like this. I think this is awesome. So where do we... Okay, I'm still not at the product page yet. Well, this isn't a very good example because it kind of just took me to another image site. Although, you know, it's still inspirational. But a lot of this stuff that I would find on Pinterest, for example, some of the furniture that I've been looking at because I'm redecorating my apartment right now, it'll link me back to West Elm or Crate and Barrel or some sort of a furniture store. So I'm already used to Pinterest being a place where I might end up buying something. And of I think course. That, you know, if they treat it sort of like Google search results where it's pretty obvious what's paid for at the top... it doesn't really bother me if I see some Pinterest ads that might be relevant to my interests up at the top of my feed. What about you?
I think especially, yeah, I totally agree with you, especially because Pinterest is so visually interesting. Right. So for some reason, because it's image-based, and I just love that idea that maybe it's not an overt text ad in your face or a banner or anything like that. Usually, typically, I think much of what we see on Pinterest, the images are beautiful from some of the brands out there. So it doesn't bother me at all. I think it makes perfect sense for them. And the more I think about it, the more I think that Pinterest is the perfect platform for companies to actually start making more revenue because it feels like a place where people, like you said, they're searching and they will end up shopping. And I can't say that's necessarily true for the Twitter crowd or even the Facebook crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with Facebook, it's sort of like, well, ads can feel really intrusive, or at least they draw attention to themselves because it's like, I'm looking at my newsfeed and Amber may have shared some pictures of her fun comedy night and so-and-so has a little update on his nephew that was just born and would you like to buy these shoes?
Yes, it's intrusive, right?
Yeah, exactly. It can feel very like, I got it. You are marketing to me. It's sort of pulling me out of my experience. But you're kind of on Pinterest anyway to maybe find that dream thing that you could possibly purchase if it ends up being right for you. And I also like CEO Ben Silverman had said in a blog post as they were explaining that they were going to start rolling this out, that they're not in the business of trying to fool anybody, that it will be really obvious to people what is an ad and what isn't. So there should be a minimizing of anybody feeling like, hey, this is all of a sudden very confusing and I feel like I've been duped somehow.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And speaking of buying things, I know we're going to talk about the new iPhones just coming out. Since this is a social hour and we always try to include tweets from people, we did get a tweet from Bob from Connecticut who said he would be watching the show live, but he is working in store right now selling new iPhones. And I just asked him how the sales are going and he said, I'm selling more 5S devices than 5C devices and silver is the most popular, Sarah.
Really? Now, yes. I wonder, Bob, is silver the most popular because gold is already gone? Because apparently there are a few stores that never had the gold iPhone 5Ss in the first place or had such a limited supply that they sold out really early, which on one hand, and we don't have to talk too much about iPhones today on the show. I know you guys have gotten enough of that in other places, but on one hand, you think, well, it makes it seem like the gold iPhone is super popular. But if there's a limited supply and they sell out, that's not necessarily the case. It's just that it's constrained supply. But Bob, you should let us know. Silver being the most popular, I would not have thought that.
Me neither. Yeah. So hopefully he said he wasn't going to be able to watch, but hopefully he checks back in at some point. Maybe he has it on in the background and he can let us know. And just leads nicely into our next story about Apple CEO Tim Cook joining Twitter.
Yeah, he apparently joined Twitter. It's Tim_Cook. He apparently joined back in July. However, he never tweeted and nobody necessarily knew that this was a verified account. However, he did tweet today, and then Phil Schiller, who is Apple executive, retweeted it. So it was sort of like, this is sort of a real deal. Yeah, this is the real deal. And what's interesting about it is if you go to Tim Cook's Twitter page, Twitter profile, I mean, 2 hours ago, he had like 900 followers. I was maybe his 9,000th follower. He's up to 47,000 at this point. And, you know, that'll just continue to grow. He's already been verified on Twitter. So the Twitter team is thrilled, I'm sure. It's always, I would love to know, especially if somebody of this stature, you know, pretty high caliber Twitter user who gets involved in Twitter so late in the game, is talking to anyone at Twitter PR behind the scenes, or if they just sort of scramble with the rest of us to go like, ooh, follow Tim, or, you know, that sort of thing. But he's not following that many people. Many of us are following him, but he's following Amber. It's kind of an interesting mix. We've got Duke basketball. He went to Duke. He's a Southern boy. Kings of Leon, the band. Okay, must be a Kings of Leon fan, whatever. Anderson Cooper, news reporter. Eddie Q, Phil Schiller. Those people are kind of obvious. They work at Apple as well. Jimmy Fallon. Maybe he likes Jimmy Fallon humor. And a few other, Lorene Jobs, Steve Jobs' widow. And that's kind of, it seems like he's pretty much followed the people that he wants to follow, and that's about it. They're all verified, too, for the most part.
Obviously, Tim Cook is a very common name, so it's difficult for him to get his name. But I do find it funny that the CEO of Apple has to use an underscore in his name. I don't know why, but it seems like he has to deal with it like the rest of us. But funny he didn't put Apple in his name at all. I don't know. That probably doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting.
Well, somewhat. You know, it may be because Tim is used to our advice when we tell people, be really careful about adding your company into your Twitter online identity, because if for whatever reason the relationship goes sour, you get another job. Tim Cook, you know, when he moves over to Samsung eventually, he's not going to want, you know, Apple Cook.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess after the weekend, he can decide on that too, see how well the sales were.
Also, what about poor Tim Cook, the graphic designer and illustrator and chief operations officer of Healy Cook Creative Group up in Seattle, Washington, because I bet he is getting a lot of misdirected ad replies today.
Yeah, I bet you are right. Maybe a lot of angry people. This is a story that was floating around Twitter, I think, in the past day or so, talking about how anger spreads faster on social media than any other emotion. This is based on a study of 200,000 users of a service called Weibo. It's a Chinese social media service, as a Fast Company article says, kind of like Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how pretty much the more anger you put out there, the more anger you attract among your friends and followers. I'm not sure that this is a big surprise. There are a lot of angry people on social media accounts, and it tends to escalate, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I think we've all seen. I mean, somebody maybe posts a blog post that ruffles some feathers. And it's not so much that the anger itself is spreading, but it's just so easy to spread the word. So if I notice something like, yeah, I read this blog post and I say, well, you know what, so-and-so is really off base. And I really hate what she said at this particular moment. And then you might retweet it. And it's sort of this, you know, that snowball effect. But I guess there's probably an element of just the fact that we're all behind some sort of screen, too. So it's easier to get up in arms about something that maybe you wouldn't be so up in arms about if you were explaining to somebody sitting across from you. I mean, like all things on the internet, everything gets blown out of proportion. And I guess negative feelings is just in that same pot.
It's too easy, too, I think, for people to simply hammer away 140 characters or less, something that is, fueled by anger. They had a situation where they were just upset about something and they quickly put it out there into the social space. I sometimes want to comment on people's tweets, but then I just don't because they anger me. But there are so many people who all they do, it seems, is they really just complain and they're angry at certain things and they just, you know, say things like, oh, I can't believe my plane is late again. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I tend to find those tweets that maybe those are things people should keep to themselves.
Yeah, I definitely, and I'm, yeah, I wouldn't call it an angry tweet. Last night, I stayed up really late because I was going to buy a new iPhone. I mean, when I say really late, midnight, late for me. And I was confused because it wasn't allowing me to pick the same data plan that I already have. And I was just, you know, I kind of took to Twitter because I was looking for somebody to give me an answer. I wouldn't call myself angry. But I think sometimes I do try to, Amber, I try to dial back. If I'm about to say something where it's like, this might be witty or I feel like a lot of people will agree with me about something, but it does feel negative. And I just think, do I really want to put that out there? And increasingly, the answer is no, because I know that when others do it, even if it's not something that they're doing on purpose or doing all the time, there is sort of a cumulative effect where you just say, gosh, this place is just a big complain fest. I've had it.
Yeah.
Don't we all have something better to do?
And I think it's context. I think in a situation where you're at home and, of course, you're upset because you're in the moment, all of a sudden it makes sense to go on and complain. And trust me, Sarah, I do it too. I mean, there are times where I'll complain about certain things, but it's the context that we understand, you know, we're in that situation. But then all of a sudden someone sees it in their stream hours later. I mean, you're over the anger and it just doesn't make sense anymore. So right. That's what I notice a lot, is that other people just don't have the same context as you may for sending out the tweet. So they may see it later they may see it the next day, whatever it might be. So I tend to not want those type of tweets in my timeline, although I have done it. I mean, whether it's a hotel or a brand, I've definitely gone online, and it's a great place to get better customer service. But there are people who I feel as though that's all they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, iPhone 50845. Yes, I was able to retain my unlimited data plan with Verizon. I just had to go through Verizon.com rather than Apple.com. So everything worked out in the end, and I reined in my anger. I funneled it into something more constructive, which was getting to work today.
good plan.
Yeah, come on. Let's move on to a story about LinkedIn. A bring your parents to work day? What is going on?
This is kind of funny. I stumbled across this on a site called Tech Vibes, and it looks like it's a LinkedIn initiative. It's a global initiative where they're trying to convince people to explain to their mothers or fathers what they do for work, because they're saying that there's a huge percentage of people, in fact, about 35% of parents, who don't understand what their child does for a living. And yet 59% of parents based on this LinkedIn study want to know more about what their child does for work. So they decided to launch this Bring Your Parents to Work Day, just like Bring Your Kids to Work Day. And this is supposed to be taking place in early November. And you would take your mom or dad to work for a few hours so they get a better sense of what you're doing. I'm sure it's just a way also to capitalize on how many people are using LinkedIn and just build awareness about the brand even further. But I thought this was kind of funny, particularly, Sarah, I don't know if you got down to the section where they talk in their global research about some of the jobs that are most confusing to parents. They mentioned them, a UI designer, an actuary, and data scientist are the top three misunderstood jobs.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I don't know what people are doing when they say they're a UI designer half the time either. But I think this is a great idea. I mean,
I do too.
As children, I remember I used to love going to work with, well, not like I got to do it very often, but, you know, going to work with my mom for the day because, you know, she could type really fast and they, you know, there's always, it all seemed very adult. You know, it's the kind of thing that as a kid, you just go, ooh, you know, grown-up stuff. And, but as an adult, there are so many parents, particularly, not just if you work in the tech space, but just the stuff that you and I end up thinking a lot of about, it's not necessarily anything that we're going to talk to our parents about over Sunday dinner or when we're catching up with them. And there's probably an increasing gap between young professionals or professionals that are, you know, in the peak of their career and their parents having any idea what they do all day. And that's something that can bring everybody together.
It's true. And I'm imagining that many of the jobs of our generation are so different, clearly, than our parents. But also, we may not just have one job. We may do multiple things. So it's just a very different environment than it was when our parents got into the workforce. So I think this is a really cute, fun idea that LinkedIn has come to the table with. And at the same time, they'll probably end up just teaching parents as well about LinkedIn and what that tool does. And the parents will then know they can check up on their kids on LinkedIn to really find out what they do.
Yeah,
see their
exactly.
resumes.
So yeah, it's a good win for LinkedIn. LinkedIn is, it's all about people of all ages these days. If you're younger, now you can have a LinkedIn profile starting at 13. If you're a confused parent, you can go to work with your successful kid, and LinkedIn kind of reaps the rewards of all of that. Yeah, I love it when my mom shows up here. She doesn't live that far from the Twit brick house, so it's not that weird. We go to lunch fairly often, but it's fun to see them in your environment, because parents care about this stuff.
Yeah.
We should all bring our parents to work as much as possible. Unless you don't like your parents, and then I'm not going to force that on you.
Then there are whole other problems.
Yeah, that's a whole. You know, families can be complicated. I understand that. Quick reminder that we record the Social Hour live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Amber's time zone. 1 p.m. Pacific here in Petaluma. Our website is twit.tv/TSH. That is where you can find all of our show archives. If there's anything Amber and I discuss, you know, a really popular question over the last week was, hey, where do I find the link to that Chipotle commercial that you guys showed on the show? And I linked everybody to our show notes, and I said, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm not describing it that well. I want everyone to go there first, because that's where we do our best to make sure that if that's something that you want to see again or share with somebody, it's all in our show notes. And, of course, subscription links as well. As the video podcast, obviously, but you can subscribe to the audio version as well. I know a lot of you are commuting or busy at work, and so you like to listen to the audio version of us. So that is where you can keep up with everything that Amber and I do on this delightful show. All right, should we take a little break and thank Warby Parker for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour? You know, in fact, Amber, before we even get any further, we should note that not only are you completely color coordinated today, but those are Warby Parker glasses.
Yes, they are. So if you're watching the video feed, you'll see this. If you're listening, I'll describe it to you. I have these beautiful glasses I got from Warby Parker quite a few months ago, Sarah, when we started working with them on the show. And I wear them all the time. They're now my primary pair of glasses. And yes, color coordinating the red with the red shirt and red nails. We had a good conversation about nails earlier on. And it's a ton of fun. But I think the best thing about Warby Parker, and I know you're going to get into this, is just the option to be able to try on different pairs of glasses and figure out which ones work the best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Warby Parker is... it's really shaking up the way that you think about buying glasses. And, you know, Amber's wearing prescription glasses, but I don't actually wear glasses. I have Warby Parker sunglasses, which I left at a friend's house, duh. But they're nice, too. Or you can even do prescription sunglasses. You've got all sorts of options. They're made with high-quality materials. The styles are very modern, up-to-date. You've got all sorts of options and designs and tints for the lenses themselves. And they're not overpriced. In this day and age, if I go into a department store and I find a pair of sunglasses that I like, often there's something like $350 and I'm just insulted. I mean, I can't deal with something like that, even if I really like the look. Warby Parker notes that manufacturers can have been able to get away with that historically because we were confused. We didn't realize that high-quality glasses could be a lot more affordable. Warby Parker glasses start at $95, and that includes prescription lenses. Many of you might say, I've never been able to get anything with a prescription that low. Well, it is possible. They've got a titanium collection as well that starts at $145. Prescription lenses as well. Those have premium Japanese titanium and French non-rocking screws. I mean, these are really, really nice glasses. All of their glasses include anti-reflective and anti-glare coating. They come in a really nice little hard case here. In fact, do I have a case over? Oh, I might have taken that home. But what's the best part is that if you would like to explore your next pair of glasses and you're like, well, it really matters if they look good on me and, you know, everybody's face is different and my nose is weird and that's basically how I approach every glasses purchase. Go to warbyparker.com, choose five pairs of glasses. Just say, okay, I think these five would be what I would want. Warby will send them to you so that you can try them on. These were the five sunglasses I thought were best suited for me. And sure enough, I ended up buying this pair. I love these. They're nice and dark. They're kind of, you know, they kind of make me feel like a movie star a little bit. And they keep the sun out when I'm driving, which is really my primary reason for wanting glasses. So at that point, you've got five choices and you tell Warby Parker, you know what? I like this one. You send the glasses back and then they send you the glasses of your choice. So it's like it's a little try before you buy type of a thing from Warby Parker. It's great. So fashion accessory. But prices that are low enough so that they are doable. By the way, that Warby Parker is into they have some philanthropic efforts as well. For every pair of glasses you purchase, you can feel good that Warby Parker is sending a pair to someone in need who cannot afford glasses, really at any price. They partner with nonprofits like Vision Spring is one of them. So that's another thing that Warby Parker is doing that's awesome. So if you are interested in giving it a go, be sure to check out the free home try-on at warbyparker.com. Then when you decide to purchase, please enjoy expedited delivery, 3-day delivery, when your glasses ship by using the offer code SOCIALHOUR. That's warbyparker.com, and that code for fast shipping. Get your glasses, just a few days, social hour. And thanks to Warby Parker for their continued support of us. All right, Amber, what is going on in the Android land of apps? Because you've got an Android phone, so you know a little bit more than I do.
Yeah, you know, I definitely end up reviewing quite a few Android apps. This one I didn't see until this week, so I'm not sure how long it's been out, but I was particularly interested in it because I'm constantly getting phone calls and I don't know who they're from. Many of them are telemarketers, so I love this idea. It's called Contactive, and it's an app that crowdsources unknown numbers, particularly business numbers. So they depend on people to input numbers into the app so that you can be notified if it's a telemarketer or a certain company. So it's using the power of social and people working together to give you a sense of whether you should answer a call or not, almost like a crowdsourced Yellow Pages, if you can say that. And I think it's just it's kind of interesting. So a good social tip for Android users.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that feeling when you get a phone call from a number and you're like, I just don't know.
And it's always a bad time. That's the thing. People say, is this a good time to talk? I don't know. Maybe I just don't like the phone. We've talked about this so many times on the show, but it always feels like, no, it's never a good time to be calling me. I'm always in the middle of dinner or work or a meeting or something like that. And it's always these numbers that I can't identify. So I like the idea that I could potentially know who is calling and know if I should pick up or just perhaps ignore the call and let it go.
Yeah. In fact, I got it was the weirdest robocall the other day, which I assume eventually I could have been directed to an operator, but the phone rang. It was an area code out of Montana, and it's like it was so random that I was like, maybe somebody needs help. So I answer, and it was basically a recording of a company that was trying to sell me some sort of discounted a boat trip, like a cruise. And, you know, it was one of these things where it's like, you want a discounted cruise, right? And I sort of sat there, and it's like the robo lady says, I didn't hear your answer. Would you like a discounted cruise? It was so strange. And so I finally said, operator, and then they hung up. So that didn't work out.
See, it's always those calls.
But if I would have known, yeah, because it just looked like somebody's cell phone number, really. And if I would have known, I wouldn't have bothered.
And Sarah, I have the same reaction to you. Many times the phone will ring and I'll look at the number and think, oh, is it an emergency? And I wonder if I should pick up. And then I end up picking up and every time, oh, you just won some type of weird lottery and we are going to enter you in a draw. And I realize I should never have picked up. So this is a fun one. I just found it this morning, so I haven't had a chance to use it yet. But if there are any Android users who are listening to the show and you have had a chance to use it, please let us know how it worked and if you like it, because I just think this idea is great. Just the whole concept of just being able to crowdsource information to help people do something better. And this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. there's a funny situation. You mentioned it never really being a good time to get a phone call unsolicited. I feel like I could extend that to just everybody all the time. I'm just never really in the mood. I mean, if my doctor's office is calling to confirm my appointment, it's like, yeah, I'll pick up and talk to them for 30 seconds. It's not the end of the world, but I met somebody recently that I don't know, and you'll laugh at this. He has an Android phone, and so I'm like, well, don't text me all that much because we can't use iMessage, and it's going to count against my text plan, which is not unlimited because most of my friends use iPhones. And he sort of was like, do you prefer that I call? And I'm like, no, never call.
Of course.
That's not a solution. No. There's a modern days that we're living in.
I know. Anyway. I feel the same way. My mom's the only one who's really allowed to call me. Really, that's it.
Yeah.
That's okay if she calls. But anyone else, then not cool at all.
Right. It probably says more about us than these poor people that we're asking not to call us. But hey, busy people, right? So we should move on to a little, well, it's a story that warms my heart, Amber, because I'm finally seeing one of my internet heroes get the recognition that she deserves.
I know. Sarah, you have me so in tune with what's happening in the cat world online that I don't know what's come over me, but Grumpy Cat, we've talked about Grumpy Cat before, has now signed an endorsement deal with Friskies. So Grumpy Cat not only has a movie and many other things built around the cat who became famous on the internet a couple of years ago, but now a spokesperson or spokescat, I don't know how you describe that, for Friskies, and we'll be making some appearances on behalf of Friskies. How do you feel about
this? This is pretty cool. I know that there was a little grumpy cat. There was a Friskies. What was it? It was like an animal. Oh, pageant, and it was sponsored by Friskies, and I believe Grumpy Cat won. Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but I thought that that's what it was, and so. Perhaps since then, the two companies have decided that they are meant for each other. And maybe Friskies is the only thing that Grumpy Cat actually likes, because, of course, anybody who follows Grumpy Cat online knows that she doesn't like much. She's just a grump.
Yes, just grumpy. Yeah. So, it looks like internet fame has really helped Grumpy Cat raise awareness about... is Grumpy Cat is it a girl?
Yes.
Okay, her brand.
So, yes, Grumpy Cat is just her nickname. Her real name is Tartar Sauce, Amber. And there's a lot more trivia about Grumpy Cat that I could rattle off, but I won't because I'll seem slightly weirder than you all already think that I am.
Well, I saw that in the article, and it's almost as though my brain chose to ignore that, Sarah, because I saw Tartar Sauce, and I thought, this is just too much. I mustn't have read that. I must have been hallucinating, and I kept moving on. So Tartar Sauce?
Tartar Sauce, yes. Tartar with a D. Tartar Sauce. It's good stuff. You know, it's funny, Amber, right now, and I'm not going to answer it, but I'm getting a very strange call from a number. This is really weird. There's an area code. There's the prefix.
Yeah.
And then the next two numbers after the dash, they're just two numbers rather than four. I don't know if that's somebody screwing with me because we just had a conversation about phone calls, but that's not even a full phone number. Something's weird.
Sarah, is it like last week after we did that social marketing spotlight, I believe it was for Colgate, talking about tweet in your teeth or something like that, and you could tweet people if they had something in their teeth?
Yeah, I got a couple of those afterwards.
Yeah, I got a couple of those too.
You guys are funny. Hey, so I wanted to quickly, this just came out today, so I don't have too much experience with it yet, but I wanted to quickly highlight a little app that came to iOS called Cinch, and this actually comes from the people who make Clout, which of course is sort of that reputation scoring system for all of us that I really have mixed feelings about. I don't really use Clout, and I think it's a little silly to try to put a monetary value on how great we are as people. But Cinch, the idea is to match up people. So, for example, Amber, you'll see on Twitter, you know, so-and-so has given you a point in social media or in television on Clout. And for the most part, it's a nice thing for somebody to do. So because of all of that, Clout rates us in a variety of brackets, like are we an influencer or a tech expert or a pundit or that sort of thing. So the idea behind Cinch is, well, what if I have questions about the world that somebody who is an expert in that field would be able to answer me based on Clout data? So earlier today, I asked the question, what's the best large format consumer photo printer for my money? This is, you know, I asked it a couple hours ago. And that's actually a legitimate question that I have. I feel like I can do my own research on large format printers, but I just kind of feel like maybe someone else has already done a lot of this research and could just say, you know what it is? It's this particular Epson model or that sort of thing. So what Cinch says is, thanks, Sarah, reaching out to the best people for this question. Now, when I first, let's see if I can ask one other question. I could say something like this. Is the iPhone 5S worth it? I just want to show you how it'll sort. Okay, so here we go. Send. And now it starts saying, oh, here are a bunch of people in the Clout system that are associated with, you know, a knowledge base that answers those kinds of questions. So I feel like we should check back next week and I can let you know
what kinds of
responses I got. Because obviously, if this works well, then I think it's a pretty cool app. And if it doesn't work well, then it's a pretty pointless exercise. But if it helps, if it helps us just to, I don't know, be doing Google searches on some of these questions a little bit less, it reminds me, Amber, a little bit of Quora. And the whole point of Quora is to be able to ask a question and then have people who are deemed experts give you really good advice.
Yeah, I like this. It reminds me of, we a few weeks ago did a fashion site called The Hunt, where you could crowdsource your search for certain items you were looking for in the mm-hmm. fashion world. Reminds me a little bit of that. I do like these two, just the idea of people working together and helping you get better answers. So that's very neat. We also have an email from one of our listeners or viewers, Scott Redding from Frisco, Texas, who says he knows of a great app to simply and easily create legally binding agreements via mobile devices. Great for social consultants that do a lot of freelance work. I know there's probably people in the social media marketing space who are listening in. And this link that he sent us is called shakelaw.com.
Yeah, this is new to me, Amber, but I love the idea. I know we have a lot of people who watch our show and listen to our show and are in various freelance roles in the marketplace. So if this is something that helps you in any way be able to, and we've talked about other competing products. This is certainly not the first we've heard of an app that helps you kind of get that legal speak and a bunch of signatures together. In some sort of a binding agreement that makes sense for everybody. But I like the way that this looks. I think this is it's a great little app. At this point, it looks nice. It is also free, so there you go. I mean, this doesn't happen to me all that often, but I would say a few times a year, there's some sort of a PDF that maybe goes back and forth, and I need to sign, and you know, it can get a little complicated. And Amber, I know that you take on freelance projects constantly, so. What do you think? Would you use something like ShakeLaw?
Yeah, I mean, I use DocuSign all the time. And I have to tell you that DocuSign, kind of like FreshBooks has for invoicing, DocuSign has really saved me in the contract space because it allows you to electronically sign contracts. Now, the interesting thing is that I know that laws differ depending on where you are in your country. You know, different states have different rules. In Canada, different provinces have different rules. But I love this idea of really simplifying the process of legal documents because I don't know about you, Sarah, but I do not have a fax machine. I know I could probably fax with one of the machines I have here, but it seems like it's kind of old school technology. So anything that I can turn into a digital format, I'm a huge fan of. So this looks really cool. Check it out. We should see, maybe ask Denise too what she thinks of it and some of the legalities around using tools like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Denise Howell, host of This Week in Law, who knows all about this stuff. We should have Denise as a guest. In fact, we can like rapid fire. Do you think this is a good product? Do you think this is a good app?
I love that. And she's on just before our show. So we'll just get her off the top of the show and ask her some legal questions because we could even have a good conversation with her, not only about apps like this, but also about the legalities around tweeting certain things in the social space based on your employer and the relationship there, because I know she has some great advice on that.
Yes, I think that's an excellent idea. Maybe we can even do it next Friday.
That would be fun.
Got another email from Frank who says in episode 128, that was last week, you were looking for ideas on how to interact with people who watch or listen to the show on Twitter. The problem is, as I pointed out last week, social hour is a great hashtag, easy to remember, but a lot of other people are using it for a variety of reasons, and it just kind of makes Amber and my job difficult because we don't want you to get buried within a bunch of hashtags. Frank says, how about instead of a hashtag, you just create a social hour account on Twitter? That way fans can interact directly without combing different hashtags and making sure that you get every mention. He says, I know, managing a whole other account can be annoying, just an idea. You know, I don't think it's really annoying. I think it just, in a way, it dilutes things because while we're doing the show, and I feel like our audience, Amber, has gotten more and more used to the fact that we're looking at their tweets, Twitter specifically, during the show. And so I like the real-time feedback that we get.
But, oh, definitely.
But they're so used to our Twitter handles as they are now. I just feel like it's asking maybe a little bit too much of people to remember that there's a show account and then there's our accounts. And they also have an email address and, you know, all sorts of good stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating what people can do.
I thought about it, and I actually thought about this before we got this email, and I looked up the Social Hour on Twitter. Someone else has that, but I kind of like the idea in the sense that it's not like we have to manage it. We could just put a message up that says we're active over at Amber Mac and at Sarah Lane, but use this to have conversations with us. So although we can't get the Social Hour, maybe there's some variation of that. So I don't think it's a bad idea, but I do think we have to come up with some solution because Social Hour, I still keep using it, Sarah, and I keep including you in the messages. So if people, at least for now, use hashtag Social Hour and include one of us, I think that's a way at least we can make sure we see it.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be, it's like we're figuring it out as our social media strategy as we do the show week after week. But that would be helpful. Yeah. Because if either you or I get a message, we'll work it out because we do a fair amount of collaborating before the show anyway, or both of us. And then we can all just at reply each other on Twitter.
Figure it out. Yeah. But for now, use hashtag Social Hour and then either at Amber Mac or at Sarah Lane, which are both relatively easy to remember.
Yes. I think so, too. What is our social marketing spotlight of the week, Amber?
All right, Sarah. So I am always intrigued with how television advertisers are figuring out ways to be able to really just innovate in the ad world on TV. And this is an interesting one. This is a campaign that Lexus is doing, and they're doing it on NBC's Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And it's a kind of a fun idea. I think they've hired improvisational comedians who will basically be doing live requests on TV, requesting that people come up with ad concepts using the hashtag LexisIs. And then later on, as far as I understand, that these comedians will be acting out the hashtags that viewers have submitted, the ideas they've submitted. I haven't seen this yet, but it's really neat to think about real-time ads and that are so socially driven on television, because I'm sure that the community who's watching Jimmy Fallon can come up with some pretty interesting stuff.
No kidding. This is sort of like, it's like the Old Spice commercial that went over really well, where the actor was basically working all night and creating these little ad spots that were calling out specific Twitter users, and everybody went crazy. But that was still kind of like an internet thing, and this is late on television. I mean, it's old school in that way. But of course, Jimmy Fallon is one of the late night talk show hosts that he's definitely wanted to have people think of him as somebody who's into internet culture and memes and people who are famous online. So I think this is actually, I mean, it might not be funny. I guess that's the only real issue, the problem that we would run into. But I think it's a really, really creative idea.
It is creative. And sometimes I think with Jimmy Fallon, what's so much fun about him is that even if things aren't funny, it's just watching him laugh hysterically. He laughs at everything. It's like he can't control himself. So it's just funny in itself. So even if he just laughs at what people came up with and he cracks up hysterically, it just becomes funny in some ways. So
exactly. And then Lexus, everybody talks about, those Lexus ads, you know, even if you never see a car, it's a win situation for
it really is. And fun for the comedians, too.
Yeah. You know, somebody in chat says, well, Amber and Sarah don't realize that that's how television started. I'm not sure. I mean, believe me, we understand the old school model of reading ads in shows because we actually do that a fair amount on Twit. But I'm not sure comedians acting out crowdsourced commercials
hashtag
for Lexus, yes, based on social media accounts and data, is really anything but a pretty fresh take on this whole thing.
It is a fresh take, and I think it's one of those things, if anyone's going to be able to do it, I think having Jimmy Fallon connected to it, like you said, he's very internet savvy, it seems like it's a perfect fit for Lexus.
Yeah. Hey, reminder that we want to hear from all of you. Write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. Thanks to everybody who wrote in this week. You, of course, can tweet at Amber Mac or at Sarah Lane. We are ready and willing to answer your questions and any sites or services or apps or legal questions, any of that stuff. Fire them away at us, and we will do our best to include them in a future episode of The Social Hour. We've also got a voicemail inbox, 2626-SOCIAL, 2626-SOCIAL. Or you can always send us a video, upload it somewhere, and send us the link. All right, Amber, before we get to your rad or fad, let's take a moment to thank SAP, second sponsor of this episode of The Social Hour. Social Media Solutions from SAP is helping companies every day, all day, every day, and into the night, use social media to improve their customer service and support processes. Not only are people commenting about a variety of brands all the time and complaining quite a bit, talked about there are people who spend their lives complaining on Twitter about airlines, for example, or wireless carriers. But this is something that companies have to deal with. If you are responsible for running social media for the enterprise, you know that it can be tough to keep up on this, especially since you've got people all over the world who might be saying things on review sites or their personal blogs or Facebook all hours of the day and night. You don't want to miss any of that. That's why Social Media Solutions from SAP is so great for large enterprises, because it allows you to listen and engage with social media and the people behind these social media accounts in a systematic way. It's kind of using the concept of big data to make sure that you are being personable. The listening component searches the web to capture reports on conversations. You can search by relevant term or be able to get a sense of someone's passion level, meaning are they really upset about something or are they really happy? Maybe they can evangelize your brand as well. You can reach out to these people. You can make sure if someone's kind of poised in that I think they may buy the product, you can reach out and help make that sale. Uses natural language processing to automatically know the differences between things that look really similar on paper, like this app has never been good means that person is not happy. This app has never been this good means, well, they really like that new version of your app, and that's something that you want to take advantage of. The engaging component helps you improve customer service and support, because you can set rules about which message routes to who on your team. Got a big team, everybody's got a job, and how they should be dealt with. Well, you're going to be nice to them, of course, but you got to figure out, what are you going to say back? Activity on the social media stream will help you because it'll drive sales, quickly solve customer problems. You're able to respond to customer feedback. You seem like you're on top of it. And when you have happy customers, then you have happy employees and a happy company. So here's what you do. If this sounds like something that your business can use, Social Media Solutions from SAP gives you more than marketing by improving the customer service and support experience. Go to sap.com/twit. Take a guided tour. They've got all sorts of information. You will see for yourself how Social Media Solutions from SAP can work for you. And thanks to SAP for sponsoring us, as always. They're our buddies. All right, Amber, what's on tap for Rad or Fad?
This is a product called GOOY, GOO.EY, and I found it on shinyshiny.tv, and it's an add-on for your smartphone that will help your smartphone stick to certain surfaces. Perhaps it is a window in the car or a fridge or a mirror in your home. You stick it on the back of your phone, and then it sticks to something else. Now, here's the thing, Sarah. It works on smooth surfaces, but I just can't imagine this peeling off all that well. So that's where I'm a little bit skeptical. I don't know if you've seen this. There is a video of it, but have you seen this before, Sarah?
No, never. I think the name is kind of clever. I'm not exactly sure why the promotional video is including people cartwheeling. But I guess they're just really excited about
having fun.
Yeah, sticking their mobile devices all over stuff. You know, there is I don't have my iPad with me, but it's across the studio. But there was a product on iPad Today that Leo and I reviewed a few weeks ago, where it was basically like these magnetized little stickies that you put on the back of your iPad. This could work the same way with an iPhone as well. And it pretty much just would allow you to put your iPad up on a fridge. That was, you know, magnet capable, or you know, stick it on stuff where the magnets could be engaged. And we were like, oh, thanks, Liz. Yeah, so it looks like I just got the little green ones, and they're, you know, the problem is that once they're on there, you know, you can peel them off, but you know, they're designed to be sticky, so it's a little bit, yeah, it's a little clunky. But the thing with GOOY, yeah, Magback, the guys who came in were actually really, really nice. But the GOOY version is kind of more versatile, isn't it? Because you're not relying on magnets. It's you're just sticking something to whatever.
And if you remember last week on the show, we talked about an app in the Radar Fag called Perch. That was the always-on video portal where you could have your iPad mounted on a wall and you could have video conversations with people. So I think more and more, and that's why I don't want to call it a fad, because I think more and more we are going to want to stick our tablets or our smartphones to certain flat surfaces. I mean, I can't tell you how much I would love to have an iPad just mounted in my kitchen somewhere that I would be able to use all the time. So I don't think it's really a fad. I mean, I think I would err more on the side of rad with this one. I just, I hope it wouldn't fall, and I hope that you could actually get it off. That would be the only thing.
Yeah, Race Quest in chat says, one fail equals smashed screen.
That's the thing.
You would definitely want to believe that GUI was more of like a crazy glue type of a stick than something where your beloved mobile device or tablet ends up with a cracked screen on your kitchen floor, because that would make you really upset.
Very sad.
Maybe it's sort of like a rubber cement thing where it's like it sticks, but it's easy to, you know, because you don't want to ruin material either. If you were to put your, if I was to mount my iPad using GUI to, let's say, like the visor in my car, which is like a material, and then it ended up pulling up. Yeah, you don't want it to look bad when you decide
you don't
to,
want to
unstick your device. But if it works as advertised, I think it's a great idea.
It's kind of neat. Yeah, I definitely could see using this. I think, especially if you have kids, you know, maybe you want to be able to mount a device to a wall for a certain amount of time if they're watching a cartoon. So I think it is kind of rad. And you're right. The name is pretty cute, pretty clever, GUI. And I tried to click on a link and I couldn't find the link for the company. So I just found the shiny article. So it looks as though this is a UK-based company, perhaps. But anyway, we'll find more information and put a link to the company in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely. If I go to, yeah, that's weird. If I go to goo.ey, it doesn't actually want to take me anywhere.
I know.
I would have thought that would have been, well, that's a little confusing. That part of it is not rad or fad. It's just fail.
It's just a fail.
Yeah, we'll figure it out for sure. All right, Amber. Well, we have come to the end of our incredibly social hour. As always, I had a lot of fun. Hopefully all of you at home or wherever you may be enjoying the show enjoyed it as well. Amber, until we see each other next Friday, do you have anything besides going to see Sarah Silverman and laughing yourself silly upcoming?
Just going to see Sarah Silverman tonight. And then next week, just a bunch of work on Thursday night and Tuesday night. I think I'm shooting the show I do, App Central. And then we're done for quite a few weeks with that show. So that's kind of going to be a nice break. What about you, Sarah?
I am actually, funny you ask, friend of mine is having her bachelorette party tomorrow, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And the reason I laugh about that is because Leo is on vacation, and so I will be hosting Twit in his absence on Sunday, which is not an issue, except that I'm like, after a long bachelorette night, it is somewhat unclear what kind of shape I'm going to be in on Sunday. Now, maybe by saying this out loud and saying I can be an adult and not overdo it, that will make it so. But as history has suggested, I'm not always able to make good decisions. So,
or maybe you're just saying it because then there'll be implied forgiveness.
Right. When I roll in for Twit on Sunday, everyone will say,
Sarah,
are you feeling okay? She seems a little off. Poor Sarah. She didn't get enough sleep.
I think that's, hopefully that's the.
Yeah. But it'll be really fun. By the way, GUI Skins. GOOEYSKINS.com. Thanks so much to you chat room folks. As always, you save us.
Perfect.
GooeySkins.com. All right. Until next week, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber McCarthy, and we'll see you all soon.